Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd lift our eyes to you. Thank you for all that you have been doing already this evening, and please continue that work by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, stories are really powerful, and a good story is really quite gripping. I don't know whether you've read any good stories recently. Anybody? No.
Yeah, I did.
Tim did. That's great. I'm glad somebody did. Well, you've heard a good story. I mean, a really good story grips you and is very memorable, isn't it? And a story, in a way, is more powerful than just fact. So one of the things our kids are doing at school is they're doing a maths course called Fred Maths. And it teaches them math through stories. And so you ask them about, well, what have you done in math today? And they said, oh, you know, Fred has been and bought himself a flock of butterflies. And you, oh, right, okay. But through it, they're learning maths, because the stories get under the skin and teach the maths to them. There was a story going around about these guys who, you know, city people working, bankers or something like that, and they had gone out in the evening to the pub, had one too few drinks, and then they're woken up the next day in a strange room, in a bathtub, and feeling a bit sore. And then they discover that they've got stitches in their back. And there's this whole story going around that these people were harvesting bankers' organs. Maybe that's what they deserve, but you know, the idea that they were, you know, if you were not careful, you'd end up having one of your kidneys stolen and sold on the organ black market. But it was, I don't think there's any truth in it, before you panic. Maybe it's one of those things to stop bankers drinking so much, I don't know. But it was quite a sticky story, because, you know, the thought of going out one evening and waking up the following day without a kidney, you know, it's quite a powerful image. Rather disturbing image, but a powerful image. And this evening, we're really thinking about stories. And what I want you to do is, first of all, you've got various bits of paper. I want you to start off with the yellow card. If I could have my slides ready, that'd be great. On this little bit of paper, you need to draw yourself. Okay, it doesn't need to be a particularly good drawing. It can be as good or as bad as this one. There we go, that's about as much as I could do for me using the computer freeform tool. But, you know, draw yourself. It doesn't have to be a work of art. The only person who sees it will be you and the person sitting next to you and the person sitting behind you. And me, if you leave it behind. But just draw yourself on that. We'll be coming back to that later. I'll do mine as well. Just to warn you, you're going to have to do a bit of work this evening. Sorry if you're just going to sit thinking you're going to sit back. How are we doing? There's far too much giggling for us. This happened last Sunday when we had Rachel and Julie sitting next to each other. It's going to have to be this thing where we'll start to have, you know, certain members of the congregation can't sit near each other. Yvonne, can you come and sit between these two? how's your picture doing? You got one? Great. You'll need that a little bit later. And the reason why we're doing that is because, actually, we all, probably the most powerful story is the story that you and I are living by. It's a story that sort of is imprinted on our mind, that we're telling ourselves, that we're part of, day by day. And what I want us to do is now, don't lose your little orange bit of paper, but turn to your sheet. I need you to have the sheet on the blank side, okay? And the aim of this next bit is not to think too hard, okay? So it's one of those things where your initial answer is the one that you want to do, okay? So don't think too much, just do it. So what we want you to do, first of all, in the top left-hand corner, is just imagining your life story. What would be one word that would describe it? One word that would describe your story at the moment. Okay, you've got your word. You remember, you weren't meant to think too hard. Unless it was a really complicated word, like incomprehensibility. And now, what you need to do on that sheet is draw a line that represents your story. Now, this, again, this doesn't have to be profound. It could be something like that. It could be something like that. It could be something like that. Anything that you just think, this is my story, with a line. This one you might want to think a bit more about. Trying to see who's looking bemused and who's thinking, yeah, I've got it. Now think, go to where roughly where the start of your story is. What would be a few words that would describe the beginning of your story? And then what's the happiest part? No, just the happiest part of the whole thing. Yeah, where's your happiest part? Yeah, I'll be marking yours later, Julie, so get it right. Yeah, no, the happiest part overall. What about the worst part? Where would that be? And then which would be the darkest part? And then, imagining where you are at the story at the moment, what would be a couple of words that would describe it at the moment? Maybe it's in a film at the moment. What would be the words that would describe it? Or the scene at the moment? This isn't meant to be a reflection on the service, but, you know, life in general. A couple of words at the moment. And then here's an interesting question. There's three more before you think, oh my word, how long is this going to go on for? And you'll see how it comes together in a minute. But who are you in the story? Who are you in the story? Are you the hero, the victim, an insignificant, a small part? You know, who are you in the story? Or who do you think you are in the story? And then two more things. What would be your nightmare ending to the story? So the worst that could happen. And then the final one. What is the happiest ending? The best that could happen, which would be the end. Great. Now, I don't know what yours look like. You won't be able to see mine, but I'm scientific, so I've done a graph of ups and downs, and actually I'm quite an emotional sort of guy, so there's highs, there's lows, that sort of thing. I won't tell you who I think I am in the story, but, well, I will. I'm the frustrated hero. I haven't always been the vicar. But it's really, I don't know what you put, but I mean, what I'm trying to do is just get us to think about what is the story that we're living by. And obviously, you know, there's a whole load of deep stuff that you could really go into. But most of our stories, actually, when you look at them, are caught up with life in this broken, fallen, hurting world. And there'll be highs, there'll be lows, there'll be great light, and there'll be darkness. And when we've become a Christian, when we've put our trust in Jesus, we've realized that our story is part of a bigger story. And it's part of a much bigger story. And we'll come onto the other side of the sheet in a moment. When we become a follower of Jesus, we realize that, you know, we're part of this broken world, part of this fallen world, and that we are part of the problem. And so we turn to Jesus and receive his forgiveness, and we need his help. And what I'm going to do is now I'm going to turn to Ephesians 1:1-14, because what Paul says here is he shows us the story that we become a part of. And this story that we're going to read is our story. And I think that it's most extraordinary when you discover what happens, what has happened. So Ephesians 1:1-14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now, what is Paul saying? What he's basically saying is this. Take your little person, okay? Hopefully you've got Ephesians. If you've got a Bible there, that's really helpful. What happens when we put our trust in Jesus? We, as it were, get put inside Jesus. There we go. I've just disappeared. And now as God looks at me, he sees Jesus. And what it means is that Jesus' story becomes my story. So I put my trust in Jesus, and Jesus' story becomes my story. So what I want us to do on the sheet, turn over the other side, and you see the little tiny box which you've got. I've made it even smaller on your sheet. Sorry if you can't quite see it. But where the squiggle is on the screen, see if you can reproduce your line that you did on big on that side, or whatever your scribble was, in miniature in that little box. Yeah? Because what Paul does in Ephesians 1 is basically says, look, there's Jesus' story, and because you, Christians, are in Jesus, his story is your story. So he starts, so where does your story begin? Where does my story begin? The moment I become a Christian, where it starts here. Your story starts before the creation of the world. We're told in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Why? Because he chose us in him, in Jesus, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. You see, Jesus' story becomes our story. See, there's this extraordinary thing that when we've become a Christian, when we've put our trust in Jesus, our story actually began before the world began. And I don't understand how it works, and I don't want to get into a whole debate on predestination, because actually Paul doesn't here come into a sort of let's have an intellectual discussion on predestination and all that sort of thing. He just says, this is amazing. Let's praise God for it. And he wants us to go, wow, my story now starts before the creation of the world. Now let me just see who, when they did their picture, started theirs before the creation of the world. Anybody? But that's why we've done this. And actually, I don't know how you want to do it, but on that side, draw something that says, my story starts here. Your story, if you are a follower of Jesus, started before God even made the world, because he chose you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined you for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. So who am I? Well, I'm not defined by my little story. I'm defined by this big story where God said, I want you, even before I made the world. So then, and obviously, what does that result in? It results in us wanting to praise God for his grace in verse 6, which he's freely given us in Jesus. And then the second part is that where is Jesus' death and resurrection becomes ours. Because we're told in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And I love that word, lavish. You know, I don't know what comes into your mind when you think of something lavish. For me, it's food. That probably says more about me than anybody else. Who else thought of food when I said lavish? Okay. what did anybody else think of with lavish? Lots of cream. Sorry? Perfume? Ferrari? Being in the hot tub. Okay. Lavish, that's lavish, okay. Well, you know, God has, when he says he's lavished his love on us, it's not, he hasn't just gone and given us a little bit. He's poured it out. He's gone for the acres of cream and perfume and Ferraris and hot tubs and, you know, huge feasts of food when the lavish. And he's lavished his love on us, and he's demonstrated that at the cross. And in Ephesians 2, we're told that God made us alive with Christ. So at the cross, we sort of die to our old self. And we're given, at the cross, we're given this new self where our old story is down here, but we're then given a new story where we're part of the new creation. So, actually, are you just understanding this picture before I... So what it's summarizing is you've got creation, then there's the fall where it all went horribly wrong, and now we're in this mess, and then Jesus comes, that's the cross, then he's raised as the first fruits of the new creation, so the new creation starts, and then when he comes back, we get the full new creation. It's quite a good little summary of the Bible story in diagram form. But God in Jesus lavishes his love on us. So we now get to be part of his plan for the whole world. I mean, there's those wonderful verses. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. So our little story is now part of God's plan for the world. So all those ups and downs, maybe yours was a straight line. Probably wasn't, but yeah, that's now part of God's plan for the world. So who are we? Well, our story starts before the creation of the world. It is defined by Jesus' death and resurrection. We're cross people, in the right sense of that word, and we're resurrection people. We're physically in this broken, fallen world, but we also belong in the new creation. And then Jesus' future is our future. We're told, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. What do you say? When we believed, God gave us his Spirit, and it's like God has stamped his seal on us and said, you are mine, and I'm not going to let you go, and you now belong with me in the new creation. And in the meantime, we're sort of straddled. On the one hand, we're physically in this world with all its ups and downs and horrible stuff, and I don't know what your picture looks like, but it's like, you know, it's a mess. Mine's certainly a mess. But spiritually, we're raised with Christ, and we're caught between the two. But the ending of the story is that we're with Jesus in the new creation. And Paul, at the start of Ephesians, is wanting us to look at our lives through the lens of his story, through Jesus' story, so that we don't get so caught up with all the details and the ups and the downs and the darkest bits and the lightest bits and all those sort of things, but actually realize that's who we are. You were chosen before the creation of the world. That's when your story began. And it was defined by the cross and the resurrection when God lavished his love on you. And that ending is with Jesus. And he's guaranteed it. Paid for by Jesus, sealed in you by the Holy Spirit. Now, in some ways, what we're doing here is called biblical theology. We're looking at the sweep of the Bible. And that's called biblical theology. And it's quite a helpful way of actually thinking about all sorts of issues. So, you know, if you're struggling with a particular issue, you think, well, actually, at the beginning, it wasn't there. But even before that, I was chosen before that. Okay, so this problem I've got is just part of this broken world. And it doesn't define me. Who am I? Chosen. Who am I? At the cross, lavished, God's love lavished on me. Who am I? I'm going to be with Jesus forever. That's my story. And we sung it. Yeah, this is my story. This is. As we were singing that, I was thinking, has that song just done my sermon for me? And there's a moment of, this is brilliant, but everybody's just going to write Jesus' story on their picture. And but actually, that's it. His story has become our story. And what I want us to do really now is to do, give you an option to do various things. One might be to confess, one might be to pray, and one might be to praise, and you might want to do all of those things. To confess, you might want to say to God that, or you might recognize that, in a sense, our story has become the big story of our lives. And we just need to confess that that's what's happened, that that story has become bigger than Jesus' story, and we've got it out of proportion. And what I'd like us to offer you to do is to copy your story onto a post-it note, if you'd like. You have to have a post-it note every now and then in the service, don't we, here? Copy onto a post-it note, and then I'll get the crossover from there. And then, as it were, post-it note your story onto the cross and say, I don't want this story to define who I am anymore. I want Jesus' story to be the story that governs my life. So that could be one option. Second option, you might want to pray with someone. If you want to pray with someone, do come over to the corner over here. And encourage you to meditate on these verses. And maybe what you want to do is to get another sheet. Irene, do you mind bringing the spare sheets down? Thank you. You might want to get another blank sheet and just redraw your story now in perspective, as it were, starting with creation, and just go through that process of, right, I'm going to, given what we've seen in Ephesians, I'm going to redraw it with starting in the new creation and just get things in the perspective they ought to be and just pray that through. Maybe have your Bible open there. Or you might want to praise. And one way you could do that is write a thank you note. We finally posted Zach's thank you notes. He had his birthday a couple of weeks ago. And it was a great moment of rejoicing when the thank you notes were written. And so they sat on the side for a week. Of course, they hadn't actually got to where they needed to go. But maybe you just want to write a thank you note with Ephesians in front of you. And just want to say, dear God, dear Father, thank you so much that this is the story I'm part of. Or just sit there and just let these verses in Ephesians 1:1-14 just sink in. He chose us in him before that. You know, and read through, and maybe there's something that just grabs you and you think, yes, that brings light. It brings perspective to my story in a way that story was getting out of proportion. I'll go and get the cross. Have a think. How do you want to respond? Post-it notes will be here. I'll put them here. The cross will be here. Spare bits of paper are there to redraw. And if you want to write a note, you can do that as well. And we'll just have a bit of silence for that, and then so that Tim and Sarah can also do what they would like to, and then we'll just see how things happen.